my worship. Let all my praise flow to you. You know, the God we serve defies gravity. The God we serve inhabits the praises of his people. So we need help to praise the Lord. He sent the Holy Spirit. Amen. To empower us from the inside. And I see the Lord's on high with the Holy Ghost magnet. So as the praises begin to go forth, he just sucks them right on up to glory. Let all of my worship, let all of my praise flow to you. And it's nobody but you. Nobody but you. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you. God, we praise you. God, thank you for receiving our praise. Thank you for hearing our hallelujah, God. Thank you for what you're doing in our life, what you're doing in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes, God. In this fellowship on today, we thank you, Lord. Nobody but you, Lord. So, Father, for these next few moments, won't you just bless us together, collectively, Lord God, in your word, in the midst of everything that's going on around us, God, we give you praise. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, saints, please be seated. Look, I done got up here, I even brought the Bible. I'm just glad to be in the house one more time. Certainly this is the day the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad. Did anybody make that choice on today? Amen. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Them songs just about wiped me out now. Y'all might have to get a stretch and just roll me right on out. Praise God, because we serve a God who is worthy to be praised. I can take all of my issues, all of my needs, my cares, my sicknesses. I can take it all to the Lord in prayer. And you know, our God is so good, he don't even, Sister Caroline, he won't even tell nobody. He just me and I, my God, just you and your God, amen. And we can tell him anything. And I praise God for that on today. So saints, I'm just really excited today to be in the house of the Lord. There's a lot going on in our world, Jesus, in our nation, yes, and even in our own lives. But we have to ask ourselves the question, God, what are you saying? You know, God, what have you called us to do, and us being those who have given their lives to Christ? What is my purpose? What is the focus? What is the goal that whatever we say or do, we can bring glory and honor to your name? Right. See, the subject today is no more excuses. The table is spread. Right. We know about a table being spread, right? Thanksgiving is coming up. But no more excuses. And it hit me when I was sitting there. I've been making excuses for about the last 6 or 7 months. I was telling some of the saints here at the church, you know, the Lord put it in my spirit to go down to narco prison before church start with prayer request cards. And I've had every excuse in the book, not really purposely making excuses, but okay, well, my original plan was to have some special prayer request cards made out, whatever that would look like. I didn't get them, so that was the excuse. Well, you know, by the time I get there and get back, church will be started. Excuse. Pull up here today, and it was on me from the time I woke up this morning. Go down to Norco prison, where the two guards are out there with the families who are signing in and getting frisked down, and so they can go in and see their loved ones. And the guard was like, well, I can't have you just out here. He said, but give me the cards, and I'll make them available to everybody who come up who's willing. And we end up with these cards with names on them and prayer requests. And Sister Sandy prayed on one of, I just read one, my husband, Ronald, with his last name as well, keep him protected and heal all other inmates, officers, and work as well. Amen. I'm like, so you know, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. You know, I'm telling you, I got so good at excuses. You know, see, you can start working on a job as a young person. I don't feel too good. You called into the office. Not gonna be able to make it today. Got a sore throat. And I got about 3 or 4 more excuses in my pocket. Just in case that one don't work. You know. See, but God is saying, I've had enough of your excuses. See, we must be about our Father's business. I took a look at Webster and an excuse. This wasn't Webster. This is somewhere else I got this. But I like what it said. An excuse is a reason which you give in order to explain why something has been done or has not been done, or in order to avoid doing something. It's a conscious thing to have this excuse of why I did or why I did not or why I can't do something. And it's so easy sometimes because, see, we are carnal in nature, but we're born again with a new nature. So listen, my carnal, my nature I'm born with, lazy, stubborn. Y'all, I'm just saying now. I'm talking about the old man. See, the new nature say, get up, man. Say, get up and move out. Do that which God has called you to do. And so I want to look at in the middle of Luke chapter 14, and it's some backstory to it, but I really want to focus on an invitation to a feast, some manuscripts say, or to a supper that's been prepared. Now, you remember in John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Who is he talking to? He's talking to those who have made a commitment to follow him, you know. And so if we were to look at, and I'm going to get to this, and like I've heard the preachers say, I ain't going to be with y'all long. You ain't got all day, right? In the first portion of that chapter, some Pharisees invited Jesus to a dinner, but not to have fellowship with him, but to accuse him because they had set up a man at the table that had dropsy, right? It's something like what they call the dirt right here, edema, where he was just so swollen and he was in a bad way. And the setup was to see if this Jesus is going to heal him on the Sabbath day. Now, how sad is that? Here's somebody who is sick, someone need care, need love, need a hug, and need healing. And Jesus said, in short, I know what y'all thinking. Man, you're healed. Go about your way. Jesus was on a mission because he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. We need to understand that what Jesus was saying was not just for him, it's for us today. Look what's happening in the Middle East. Look at our Bibles, what the Bible says about end time prophecies. Look at what the scripture says, about Jesus coming back to rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years after the rapture have taken place. There's a lot of things that's happening in our world that's very relevant to where we are today and what scripture has said many years ago. And so it's time for us to get rid of excuses. You know, I mean, we really had excuses when it came to coming to church. That was probably, as a kid, that was worse than the job excuses. You know, which remind me, I'm really going to get into this, but remind me, I heard this old preacher said that this mother, she was about 90 years old by now. She'd raising the little grandkids, you know, a lot of grandparents raising grandkids these days, and she would take them to church every Sunday. Come on, y'all, get up. We're going to church, little bitty kid. And sometime, they said, Grandma, we don't feel good. Grandma said, the devil's a lie. Come on. Get up. We're going to church. Little kids, they grow up. They get grown. Now they going to church. Grandma was laying in the bed one Sunday morning. And they, come on, Grandma. Time to go to church. She say, no, Grandma ain't up to it. They say, the devil's a lie. She say, no, he ain't lying this time. say, this is real now, you know. But, you know, God's plan, one thing, so many, is for us who are called by his name to win souls for Christ. The table is spread. Jesus have come, lived a perfect life in our place that we couldn't live, showed us the way, died on a rugged cross, rose on the third day with all power in his hand, and his blood still works. His arms are still outstretched. He's still saying, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The table is spread. The call is still going out. I'm sure a lot of us may have friends or relatives or children who we just, if we had a big cup, a bowl of salvation, we wouldn't even ask them if they wanted to know the Lord. We'd say, hey, watch out. We dump some salvation on them. We would dump the love of Jesus on them. They would say, ooh, thank you. But when you present it to them, there's so many excuses of why. You know, and some of them may be well-founded. Some of them may not be. Some of them have heard something about church or seen something or experienced something that may not have been good. But, you know, at some point, excuses run out. Because the love of Jesus, it supersedes any of those things. You know, so let me get it. Let me get in this parable of the Great Supper. Verse 15, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. That sounds real good, and it is true. But Pastor John, I think he had an ulterior motive. Because above that, in verse 12, then he also said to him who invited him, remember the one who invited him had a plant set to trap Jesus. He said, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. In short, you go to my house, then I come to your house, and then we go to Sister Sally's house, and then, you know. But he kept on, Jesus is saying now, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. How many of us know there's a reckoning day coming? There's a time of reward coming. See, you know, we have something to look forward to. And so that's when, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these, he said, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, let me tell you a story. See, because sometimes folks say, but God really wants you to, He wants us to really get it. So in verse 16, then he said to him, this is a parable, an illustration, see, to try to get someone to understand spiritual things that God has in store. He says, a certain man gave a great supper, a great feast, and he invited many. That man is the Lord God. See, his arms is outstretched. Thank you, God. And he said, And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come on, for all things are now ready. Well, in Jewish time, there was two aspects to an invitation. The first invitation that would go out would say, hey, is something coming up on the horizon at such and such time and date? Then the next invitation go, it's ready now. That what we talked about a month or two ago, the time is here, so it's going to be on and cracking on this Friday night. Come on and be a part of it. And the servant, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Don't that sound like the Lord? Come on. Things are ready for you. You know, the prisons would not be as full. If men and women would seek the Lord, the juvenile authorities would not be as full as they are if parents and grandparents and friends and neighbors would say, son, daughter, listen to me, there's a better way of life. He said, but they all, listen to this, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. No more excuses, the table is spread. They all, here's the invitation. They all begin to make excuses. The first one said, listen to this. Well, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. Okay, let me get this straight. You bought some property unseen and now it's time for the feast. And you say, well, I got to go check out the property I bought. That's a pretty poor excuse if you ask me, or somebody that's really not wrapped real tight, because you don't say, well, that's like I said, I'm going to go down to Florida. I heard there's a nice city called the Everglades, and I'm going to buy a piece of property in the swamp. No. And so then he said, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Here's another. He bought some oxen. Don't know if they're strong, weak, or whatever. But his excuse is, can't show. I can't come. You imagine that God's heart is grieved every time an invitation to the kingdom of God is overlooked, refused, denied. You know, since God is loving, gracious, and kind, I wonder what does rejection of his creation and his love for them feel like to him. I've done all I can do, and I've opened up the door and made a way, Jesus, that you can have salvation, and you can have help on your side. Jesus. My arms are outstretched. If it had only been just you on the planet, I'd have sent my son for you. And yet folks say, I got an excuse because something happened 30 years ago that I didn't like. In verse 20, still another said, I have married, now this is a real good one. I have married a wife. Well, that's a good part. And therefore I cannot come. Now, you would think he would say, hey, honey, take my arm. We can invite it to a feast. But it's another rejection. You know, you could just say, you know what? I'm not coming. I don't want to come. I don't want to be a part of what you're doing. But we make excuses. But I'm saying that it's time out for excuses. The table is spread. So as Jesus began to give this parable, and he's talking to them of how people make excuses to come to this great feast, to this great supper. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Well, if we just think about it for a minute, that was us. May not have been lame in the legs, but lame brain in the head. I mean, pardon me, you may have been blind, not like Ray Charles, but you couldn't see the things of God. But God said, I'm going to send somebody to you. I'm going to send a word to you. You're going to hear a message. You're going to hear a song. You're going to see a mother's tears. And so he said, okay, you have folks today who refuse and they will refuse until the last breath in their body. But he said, go out. What are we called to do? He said, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Go out. Well, hello, somebody. We as three-piece saints of God hit in this house, don't we have a charge to go out and let the world know this great God whom we serve? Did he not say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He has given us charge. He said, go out and make disciples of all men. We love coming together in the house of the Lord, watching our praise flow up to him, celebrating with one another, greeting one another. Oh, but there's some seats in here that need to have somebody sitting in them. Not because of number wise, but we're living in a time where the table is spread, the feast of the Lord is going on, and people are dying in the streets. People are jacked up. Jesus said, the homeless you'll have with you always, but he didn't say because of that, don't do nothing for the homeless. He said, go down and let somebody know I love them with an everlasting love. Go out and let the homeless know there's hope. David said, I once was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. If somebody can grab hold of faith in God, you can see their lives changed and transformed. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And I guarantee you, they don't have any excuses. You mean to tell me that here's a fellow on the street that have nothing, and somebody saying, come on over to my house. There's a turkey on the table. There's some cranberry sauce or whatever it may be. That person who have nothing is saying, I'll go. And today there's people who are sitting in their homes who are locked down in different situations and they don't know the Lord. And all they need is somebody to say, you know what? I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. Let me tell you that God loves you with an everlasting love. People need to hear a word from the Lord. And the master, verse 22, and the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there's room. There's room at the cross for everyone. It ain't that some people can't believe it, some people won't believe, but oh God, for those who will believe. So look, here's the scenario. They went out, okay, we get it. We got these folks, they said they're not coming, they got excuses. But here we got the master sent out us to go out and let the people know, the lame, the blind, the halt, all of these folks, let them know how good God is. And they say, okay, we went out and did that, and there's still some room in the house. I tell you, that's enough to make my feet get light. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges now. You don't have to go out and look for the lame. You don't have to go out and look for them. Just go out to everybody you see and let them know that the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. He's not just talking about a local house. He's talking about the house in glory. He's talking in the place where he has gone to prepare for folks. Don't you know today that people need some hope? You, without hope, you are a walking dead man. What are you looking forward to? Nothing. And if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. But when you can get your heart and your mind gazed and fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your circumstances will change. Those folks who are experiencing some hard things right now, and a whole lot of folks don't know the Lord. So on one side, you got people who don't know Jesus, having death in the family, sickness, destruction, pain. And over here, you have someone who's having sickness, death, destruction, and pain, but they have Jesus. Yes. And they can call upon the Lord, who hears and who answers and who helps us through our situations. I don't want anyone to miss something that's available to them. That's why he said, go out into the highways and the hedges. Going down to the prison today had nothing to do with me. It has something to do with the plan of God for those who are without, those who have been discarded, those who are in a bad way. And out there today, and to see those mothers, no doubt, and wives, their conscience looking so heavy because they're in prison too. Their loved one is behind those walls, and they're in a bad way, and they're saying, oh, pray for. Oh, God, we have the words of eternal life. We have something that would change someone's life. Sister Christy got up with her sweet little self reading the scripture on this morning from Isaiah 55, and I heard it, and I was thinking about Isaiah 55 and 1. She started at 3. He said, hey, ho, look here. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Right. See, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Isn't that something? You don't have to have no money to be in the house of God. If you have to feel like you don't have money so you can't go to church, somebody has sent the wrong message. Somebody coming to the church for the first time. Hey, how you doing? My name's Pastor. Here's the offering tray. And so there are some things that can happen that will cause people to turn a deaf ear, but they need someone to come with love and compassion and anointing from the Holy One that will speak to them, because as the sister was reading this morning, his word won't return void. It'll accomplish what it's sent out to do. The question has to be, saints, are we willing and ready and able to do what God has called us to do? Whether it's in our home, at the supermarket, or down the street, are we ready to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or do we still have some excuses? You know what? I don't know the Bible that well. You don't have to know the whole, but do you know that God is good? Do you know that he's blessed you? Since you turned and started praying to him, have things changed in your life? We can testify to somebody that Jesus loves you. He said, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The table is spread. Oh, God, and the peace of the Lord is going on. It don't cost no money. It don't really cost no time, because even time that we have on this planet, God has given it to us. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow or not. So what manner of men and women should we be today? I'm at a point, I'm thanking God for every day. Every breath. Oh God, every meal. Thank you, Lord. Every time I can see my wife, my children, the saints of, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you. I remember when I was lost and undone without God or a son, and you reached out your hand for me. God, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. You've already said it's done. You said you're going to work it out. You said it's going to be all right. God, I'm trusting you today. I'm standing upon your most holy word. God's word is true. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness. Oh, God. But he is long-suffering toward us. See, he's hanging in there for us. He's keeping death at bay because of his great love. The tragedy that could befall you, he said, I'm long-suffering with you. I've been knocking on your door. I've been calling you on, I've been texting you. Now, you know, if you get a text from the Lord, you know it's time for you to say, okay, excuses is over. He said, But he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should die and go to hell. He's not willing that anybody should live in a terrible way. He says, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Isn't that something? Repentance is necessary for salvation. You can't come to the Lord, You can't have rejoicing in your heart without recognizing, God, I am jacked up. I've been wrong. I've sinned against you. Lord, your word, oh my God. I never will forget the time in my life when I said, I'll never cry again. I'm a man. It was just a cover up. I was messed up on the inside. I'll never cry again. I went this way for almost 3 years. And I started hearing the word of God. Started going to the house of the Lord. And I felt something I hadn't felt in 3 years. Water started coming in my eyes. And I run out of the church. And I would hear this voice saying, what are you doing out here? And he'd drive me back into the church. And I started hearing God's word again. And one day I said, Lord, if you're really there, if you touch my body, God, I'll serve you the balance of my days. That's been over 43 years ago. The same God, the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit is calling men and women today. I'm a witness that he'll turn your dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. He'll give you hope in the midst of hopelessness. He'll open up the panoply of Scripture and show us what the end is going to be. Because if you go to Revelation 19 and 9, then he said to me, this is what the angel said to John the Revelator. See, you know, John is the one who was caught up in the spirit on the Lord's day, as he was in a prison colony called Patmos for preaching the gospel. And now here God is sending a word to him. And so here comes the angel, the messenger angel, say, John, here's something else for you. Because, see, no more excuses. The table is spread. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes. And he said to me, these are the true saints of God. Ooh, hallelujah. So there is a feast in glory. One of these mornings, and it ain't going to be very long, you're going to look for me and I'll be gone. But I'm going to the place where I'll have nothing to do, but I'll just walk around heaven all day. Every day is going to be Sunday. The Sabbath will have no end. God wants us to be just like the little baby that I can't get out of my mind at the homeless shelter two Sundays ago. Because she came around the table, little bitty thing, and she did this to me. David, I had to pick her up. I had to hold it tight. God is saying, I want you to be like that. I want you to come to me like this. And I will hold you. I will caress you. I will bless you. I will save you. I will deliver you. I will give you peace. No more excuses. The table is spread. And the feast of the Lord is going on. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if we get out of excuses, we won't wait till 11 o'clock to come to power hour. There'll be some excitement. Say, I'm going to be there at a quarter till. It won't be that 12 o'clock come. Okay, 11:59, I'm going to make it to church. If we can get excited about the things of the Lord, well, we can understand there's some prayers going forth. Oh, God, let me get in where the saints are praying for our nation, praying for Israel, praying for the Lord. Let me get excited. Let me eliminate the excuses. Well, I got to cook dinner. Well, you've known that for 24 hours. Ain't nothing changed. You got to cook it every day. I'm done. They say they're going to start meddling. Praise the Lord. Come on, Pastor Jones, close out. Would you please pray? Sister Janet is asking for prayer. Rachel is to deliver baby Luna tomorrow. Let's pray for them as well.
We're so thankful for the word of God, and we're so thankful this reminds us that we all have excuses. We need to really look at that, because Jesus gives this parable because he knows our hearts. He knows that we look for reasons to avoid doing things that we think may not be important. But how important is this? To be in the fellowship of the Lord, to be in the amongst the people of God, to be able to hear the things of God, to recognize who God is, and that what he has for us is so great. If we only knew. If we only knew what he wants for us, how much he has for us, already waiting for us, we wouldn't make these excuses. Our priorities, sometimes we have to redo our priorities where God is no longer number two, number three, number four, down at the bottom somewhere. You know, he's in the back of our mind somewhere. But where we make sure that God is at the top of the list. Because that's what the number one, the first commandment says, what? No other gods before me. Now that's the law of Moses. Now we're no longer under the law of Moses. We're under an even stricter standard now. It's not less than the law. It's more strict now. Because we have no excuse. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We have the Holy Spirit. We have no excuse. We have what Jesus, the disciple says, you have the words of eternal life. We have the words of eternal life. We have.